Thank you, wonderful Crick family.
That was beautiful. Before I start my message, I just have to share one quick Dick Brown story. When I first started leading worship here, I had led worship at other churches, but never here, and I found myself particularly nervous. And you know that I get nervous. A lot of you have noticed I get nervous. If I'm going to do something important and I really want to do my best, I worry about it and I get nervous, and sometimes I shake and my voice shakes and all that. So one of the first times when I was really nervous, I caught Dick Brown because I knew he had led worship a lot of times, and I just thought of him as someone I admired and respected. So I caught him and I asked him if he would pray with me. And we went right over there, and he held my hands and he prayed with me for peace, and he prayed words of comfort for me and prayers of strength and prayers that God would be honored. And I felt such a sense of peace. I really did. It helped so much. And I felt like, I didn't intend to say anything about this today, but I just felt it again this morning when I came in. I felt his peace with me. And I'm not looking at Joanne, I just need to not look at anybody. But anyway, that was a wonderful gift. And I sure think, I think of Dick this morning, and I thank all of you that pray with and for people. It's a wonderful thing. Okay, this summer has been all about Ephesians. Have you noticed that? A number of you have participated in a Bible study with Pastor Mike and I in June. And then in recent weeks, Mike has been preaching out of the book, and he wrote in his newsletter article about how much he values Ephesians for the wisdom and the guidance that it gives Christians. Today, I will focus on chapter 4, specifically verses 1 through 5 and 11 through 16. My study Bible titled this chapter, Unity in the Body of Christ. So who's the body of Christ? We are, right? We all are. How many of you have been watching the Olympics? Amazing, isn't it? The athleticism, the dedication, the endurance, and the mental and emotional strength that they show. I am in awe. Of course, there are individual superstars like Caleb Dressel, Simone Biles, Katie Ledecky, Shelley Ann Fraser-Pryce, and now Bobby Fink. There's an incredible amount of pressure on those superstars that really bothers me, but that's a subject of a different time. What captures my heart are the team sports, where you are unlikely to know any of the team members as individuals, but where the players come together in each of their roles so seamlessly, they operate as if they are one. The individual team members use their gifts and skills not to obtain personal glory, but to ensure that the whole team benefits. And I get a kick out of it when announcers try to get some of them to grandstand or to take personal credit for the team's success. They so often refuse. And then they refer to the team and their teammates' efforts and don't let themselves get sucked into seeking personal glory. And that's rather remarkable in this day and age, isn't it? One of my favorite Olympic stories isn't a current one. Does the name Jenny Thompson ring a bell for any of you? Between 1992 and 2004, Jenny won more Olympic medals than any other female swimmer in history, including 8 gold medals. But what's unusual is that of those 8 golds, not one was for individual events. Every gold was in a relay event. Jenny swam on 4 U.S. Olympic teams and won 12 medals over her long career as an Olympic athlete. Her medal total and gold medal total have earned her a status as one of the greatest Olympic athletes ever. And yet many of us have never heard of her. And while she earned many individual golds in world championships, the fact that she did not earn any individual golds in the Olympics has led to some vehement insistence that she should not be included on the list of best Olympians. Jenny doesn't worry about any of that. When asked, she attributes her success to perseverance, dedication, and the support of family and friends. After her last Olympics, Jenny went to medical school and became a surgeon and an anesthesiologist. In her spare time, Jenny has done much to support charities and cancer research and, of course, the Olympics. She spends zero time promoting herself or her status. And this is how the church should work. And I think that's what I'm hearing in Scripture. No church can or should depend on any one person or even a small group of people to carry it. God gives each and every one of us unique gifts and skills and calls us to use them in the mission and the ministry of this church. We are all teammates. We have big and small gifts, some obvious and some more hidden, but we all have gifts and we are all needed so that God might be rightly honored, praised, and served in this place. Paul identifies four graces needed to live a life worthy of our calling: humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with each other in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The four graces are perfect in Christ, but there is only one Jesus, and the graces are present in varying amounts in all the rest of us. The absence of any of these graces jeopardizes our Christian unity, so they are surely qualities to strive for, to strive to grow. The four graces, again, are humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with each other in love. Thinking of each of these, where do you feel the most confident, and where do you recognize having room for improvement? Bearing with each other in love is the one that's been pinging me during the preparation for this message. Don't people just drive you crazy sometimes? I have a hard time understanding why everyone doesn't have the same priorities that I do. Why doesn't everyone think like me? Sometimes I feel like nobody thinks like me. Do you ever feel like that? Most recently, I wondered, why doesn't everyone want to help with VBS? And I've heard similar frustrations from others in regard to their projects, their committees, and their events. To be honest, though, I didn't just want everyone to want to help with VBS. I wanted them to do exactly what I wanted them to do in exactly the way I thought it should be done. Guess how that worked out for me? Of course, it didn't work out. Already, I am far enough out to realize that not everyone can help with VBS, much less want to. And I realize that it worked out for the best. It was God's plan, not my plan. There were people who made suggestions, people who did things their own way, people who spoke up with ideas I never would have thought of, and our ministries are so much better, more well-rounded and stronger when a variety of thoughts, opinions, and efforts are offered up and honored. And when they can be done by people who are genuinely interested and want to be there, who feel called or nudged at least to use their gifts and skills rather than to be guilted or begged into it. In verses 11 through 13 of chapter 4, Paul directly addresses spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are part of the very nature of God, given to us for him to use to fulfill his purpose in our lives, in our church, and on this planet. Some of us preach, some teach, some balance books, some make calls to shut-ins, some share musical gifts, some make an effort to learn names of strangers and to make them feel welcome and comfortable. Some pray prayers of intercession with fervor and zeal, and I could go on and on. But what's important is that we are best as individuals and as a church family when we recognize what gifts we have been given and we find a way to share them. The church is not a building. It is not a social club or a self-help organization. The church is the people of God. We can't expect Pastor Mike to be the church. The pastor is called to provide vision and leadership as he equips us to go out into the world. We have to have our own internal motivation too, and we have to be brave enough to offer our gifts up, not sit back and wait till someone invites us to share them. Scripture says that unless the Lord builds the house, unless people have an internal want to, leaders have no power to make us do anything. We have to recognize what God has gifted us with and recognize where it can be used to make this church a better church family and better at serving God. We don't always see, though, where our gifts are or recognize their value. That's where others can help. Let's help each other be everything we could be. I need some encouragement sometime. Do any of you need encouragement? We definitely have some folks here who have the gift of encouragement. That's wonderful. If any of us possessed all the spiritual gifts, we would be self-sufficient and have no need for any other members. Yet God has deliberately given us different gifts. We need each other. As each believer responds to needs according to his particular spiritual gift, and as God allows believers to serve him in various roles of spiritual service, the body of Christ can experience the fullness of God's love. We can achieve our maximum potential together and experience the personal joy of fulfilling our purpose in life. Let's face it, the world today is a divided place. Pro-COVID vaccine or anti-COVID vaccine, Democrat or Republican, conservative or liberal, Husker or Hawkeye, rich or poor, black or white, young or old. Sometimes it feels like the object and aim of the media is to promote division in our country and our world and to keep the pot stirred. I think the plague of COVID itself has been a big divider. It made us scared to be together, scared to hug. It hid us away at home for such a long time, and it hid our smiles behind masks when we were finally able to come back together. It made us be suspicious of people and dart away when they coughed or sneezed in public. It made us afraid to touch door handles and water fountains. There's a Swahili proverb that says that unity is strength and division is weakness. COVID made us weak, even when we weren't personally afflicted with it. We still have faithful and faith-filled sisters and brothers in Christ who do not feel safe rejoining us yet in the sanctuary on Sundays. Thank heavens for Facebook Live and our technology. Imagine how weak our church family and we as individual Christians seeking inspiration and support would have felt if we could not return in any form. Still, I look forward to the day when we all feel safe to return to the sanctuary on Sunday mornings and to programming. Our number one purpose as a church, of course, however we are able to gather, is to worship God and give God glory. But if we were to do that the most successfully and to grow to our maximum potential, we must work together as if on a team, God's team. We must respect and love each other, lift each other up, and work side by side using what we have been given. We have to get past the very human tendencies to want to be surrounded by people who look like us, think like us, and act like us, to be thankful that we are so different. And we have to banish our jealousy when someone shines in an area where we do not. I could practice 8 hours a day for the rest of my life, and I'm never going to play piano or organ like Dirk. It's just not going to happen. And I'm never going to be able to talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime like Shelley can. It's never going to happen. But I have my own gifts, and you do too. And there are ways that we are gifted that Dirk and Shelley aren't. And that's as it should be. That's something to celebrate. So don't hide your light under a barrel, and don't ever believe that your unique gifts and offerings aren't important. I have often heard it said that there is a God-shaped hole in each and every one of us. Not everyone is able to recognize it for what it is, and that's very sad. But I believe it's there. And I would take that idea a step further. I believe that there is a U-shaped hole in this church. We simply aren't complete without each of you. We are like a puzzle without all the pieces. And I'm so glad you answered the call to be part of this congregation. And I can't wait to see who else God leads to us. Our church family is meant to grow and to change. You probably won't be surprised that I would choose to close this message with a story about a child being the church at its best. After an accident robbed a little girl named Jamie of one of her arms, Jamie refused to go to school or church. Finally, the day came when Jamie thought she could face her peers in Sunday school. In preparation, Jamie's mom called her Sunday school teacher and asked that she not call any attention to Jamie. The teacher promised, but unfortunately she was sick that Sunday morning and a substitute teacher had to be brought in. At the conclusion of the day's lesson, the substitute invited the class to join her in the hand motions to the familiar children's poem, "Here is the church, here is the steeple." But Jamie just stood there. The kids all moved to get their hands in the right place, and they got all excited, and they started saying the words, but Jamie just stood there, her eyes filling with tears. Before she could run away or even move, a little boy moved in right beside her. Holding out one hand beside Jamie's, they supported each other in making the church, the steeple, and the people. Together, they illustrated what real church is. Amen.